started here today, Lord, we ask that you would just give us understanding to what Pastor is going to talk to us about. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would illuminate your word to us, Lord, and that you would also give us the strength and the wherewithal to let it settle within us, and that we would apply it to our lives, Lord, that we wouldn't quench what the Spirit has for us, Lord, that we would set in humility, Lord, and that we would understand what you have for us, that we wouldn't put our pride back on too soon. Father, come and work a mighty work in Jesus' name. Amen.
To Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're continuing on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I think we're seeing right before our eyes a move of God's Spirit that He wants to show us what He wants to do in our lives. Amen? He wants to do some beautiful things in our lives. Turn to Acts chapter 1. And there is in your bulletin as well an outline that will go along with the sermon, if you find that helpful, and the PowerPoint as well. We have been looking the past few weeks at the ministry, the work of God's Spirit that He does in us and that He desires to do in us. And we've seen from these past weeks that the main point of that which I'm going to speak about today is the same as what it's been over these past weeks, that God desires to fill us, fill all of us with His Spirit, so that He can accomplish His purpose. And His purpose is more than just filling us with His Spirit so that we can feel good and overcome things. That's a part of it, but there's a bigger purpose, and that is that He can declare His name to all people and declare Christ's gospel, that we would be His ambassadors, His servants, His representatives, and declare this good news to all people. I remember as a young person, I grew up in the church. My parents dragged me faithfully to church every week. Sometimes willingly, sometimes unwillingly, sometimes kicking and screaming. And as I got older, you know, I really didn't want to go. You know, and I said the things that many of you young people say here this morning, oh, this is boring. You know, oh, I got to sit through this another sermon. When is this pastor going to get done? When is this preacher going to get done? And, you know, scribbling notes, I guess today you text notes and things like that. But, you know, it's when I began to understand from God's Word that it is not simply about, you know, religion and going through religious motions, but that God has a living, vital relationship for us by His Spirit. It's all about His Spirit within us. And as I began to understand that, I began to experience that in my life, that's when it came alive to me. That's when God's Word became real to me. That's when I began to understand that His Word is not just this objective thing out there, but God is speaking to me directly. And His promises and His provisions are for me. And began to lay hold of these things in my life. And God began to change me. And it wasn't me doing it. Yes, there are things I had to lay down, but God began to do this work in my life. And folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm nothing special. God will do in your life what He's done in my life and others. He will do it for you if you will lay hold of what He has for you. I want to show you in the Word today that God desires so much to give you His Spirit, to fill you with His Spirit. You receive the gift of His Spirit by inviting Christ into your life. And then He fills us more and more and more as we grow in Him, as we seek Him, as we surrender. There's an interesting thing that happens in our spiritual lives. When you first come to Christ, you know, you're very excited. I can remember that as a young person, just so excited of knowing my sins are forgiven and God has accepted me and I'm going to be with Him in heaven forever and He's with me. I was so excited, you know. But as time goes on, as life goes on, you begin to, you know, you feel dry. As many of you expressed that this morning, you feel dry and, you know, life's problems settle in. And the burdens, and the issues and the problems, they settle in on you and you're like, oh, God, I thought this was going to be, you know, I thought this was going to be good and I thought this was going to be great, God. And, you know, what happened? What am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. God's growing you. God's growing. You see, if we didn't feel dry, if we didn't feel hungry, if we didn't feel like we're out in the desert, then we wouldn't seek Him. See, if you're here today and you're sensing that, you're feeling that in your spirit, there's a reason. It's because God is allowing you to see another layer of yourself so that you will seek Him, you will cry out to Him so that He can fill you. See, God doesn't just rub it in our face. You know? There's some preachers that do that, and please know I'm not one of them. Because, you know, I know my own self. I have a right account of myself. And God shows me myself. And so I can only cry out for grace and mercy and say, God, You see me for what I am. You see me with all my struggles and all my failures. And I cry out to You. I need You. I need Your touch. And I need specifically Your Holy Spirit to fill me. We have looked over the past weeks at the prophecies that God gave to His prophets about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, we saw last week that Jesus spoke about this, and He began to talk about it as the gift that My Father has promised. He began to talk about it as there is one coming whom the Father will send, and He's going to come to you, and He's going to be with you, and He's going to be in you forever. He said, I must go away so that He, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Help, the Helper, the Counselor, can come. And when He comes, He will be with you. He will be in you forever. And you know, some people think that, well, you know, that's for those super spiritual people. That's for, you know, pastors and missionaries and evangelists and all that. Oh, no. I want you to see this in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I was reading through some scripture passages that relate to this issue, and I came across this passage, and this is one of my favorite scriptures here. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 9. Jesus is teaching His disciples, and He says this. He says, go to verse 9, Jim, if you would, please. Jesus is teaching us about seeking Him and about asking and knocking, persevering. He says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now let me ask you a question. Stop right there for a second. Is Jesus a liar? Is Jesus just making this up? Or does He mean it? I believe He means it. And the problem is, there's a succession here, there's a progression. Ask, seek, knock. You know, it's kind of funny with children. You know, when our kids, Brittany was younger, and Kenny sometimes a little bit younger, even now, though, you know, they come to, you know, Mom, Dad, I really been thinking about, you know, getting this. I really like to have this thing. And you know, the way I answer it sometimes is, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe. Of course, you know, the kids don't want to hear that, right? They're like, they want it. They want it now. I'll say, we'll see. And the reason for that is, you see, just as with Jesus, explaining about the fathers, I want to see if you're really serious about this. You know, sometimes we get a wild notion. You're like, you know, I'd like, God, I'd like to have this. And God says, really? Maybe. We'll see. And you know, we ask, and then sometimes it's like, whoosh, gone. And it's like, oh, you know, I wasn't serious about that. I really didn't want that. God wants to know if you're serious about something, so He waits. So you ask. And then you come back and say, God, you know, I've been asking you about this, and I wanted to talk to you about it again. I really would like this. And God says, really? We'll see. There's a progression here. Jesus said, you ask, you seek, and then what? You knock. See, God wants to know if you're serious about this in your life. God wants to know if I'm serious about what we really need and want. You see, because a lot of times we see things, we want things, and they're not really what we need. Aren't you glad you have a good Heavenly Father who doesn't always give you what you think you want and you think that you need? No, He waits until we're seeking Him. And as we seek Him, we're like, you know what, God, I realize I don't really need that. I may want it, but I really don't need that. And we get to that point where you say, God, I need this. Some of you are seeking God for a job, you know? And you've asked, you seek, and now you're knocking. God, I need a job. And I need it bad. God, our business is failing. Our business is struggling. God, I need your help. God, please. You see, God wants you to get into a place where you are seeking Him. You are serious in your life. Because you know, God knows that we're pretty contrary, aren't we? You know, we want this, and then we want that. We get this, and then it sits and collects dust. How many of us have attics full of stuff? Garages full of stuff that we've accumulated, and we knew we needed that thing, didn't we? We needed it. I've got to have it. You know, it's kind of like this exercise ski machine thing. I needed that thing. Yeah, that was the answer to all the pizza trouble. You know, as the midsection gets thicker, you know, because of more pizza, I know I needed this ski machine, like this track machine, you know, and I went to Kmart and I'm looking, waiting for that thing to come on sale, and boom, came on sale. I got that thing, spent hours putting it together. That was fun. And got that thing together, and got on that, it's like, this isn't very fun. And you know what that thing's collecting now? Dust and clothes. We hang clothes off that thing. I can't remember the last time I used it. And then I set that thing right up in our bedroom. You know, we got the TV over here so that I can watch my favorite sports and act like I'm working out like they're working out, you know, and I haven't done it. See, I thought I needed that thing. I didn't need that. What I need is more self-discipline, more self-control. That's what I really need. But I wasn't asking God for that, huh? I wasn't asking Him for that. I want this thing that's going to fix me. I want the easy way out. I want to take care of this thing like this. Yeah, that's the way we are. You know, God, can you please fix this? I need this. I need you to take care of this, and I need it done now. You know, and that's the way sometimes we relate to God. As if He's the big fixer in the sky. You know, it's not that way. And so Jesus has some encouraging things for us here. Watch this, verse 11. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking. And He wants us to understand how He is a good Father. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, right? Of course the father isn't going to do that. Verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Wow. Now, there's a parallel passage in Matthew about this that doesn't say that. It says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? I remember one time it was somebody was arguing with me saying, you know, the Bible isn't accurate. And they pointed that out. They said, well, which one did God say? Or, excuse me, which one did Jesus say? Did He say, you know, the Father's going to give us good gifts? Or is the Father's going to give us the Holy Spirit? You know, because Matthew says good gifts and Luke, you know, says gives the Holy Spirit. I said, He said both. So, don't you think that Jesus taught this principle numerous times? Do you think He only said it once or twice? Said it numerous times over 3 years. And these are two different occasions that Matthew writes down and Luke writes down. And he wrote that in that context, in that occasion, and then Luke wrote this down. And why is he saying this? Because Luke has an emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' ministry. And here's why he writes this, because he knows, watch this, you still with me? Say amen. He wants us to understand that when you have the fullness of God's Spirit in your life, you have everything you need. You have everything you need. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, you still need, you know, clothes and food and all that. But he tells us, your Heavenly Father knows you need those things. But when you have the fullness of the Spirit, which God wants to give to you, and wants to give to me, you have all that you need. Now, he says here, right, this is Jesus' words, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Stop right there. What do you have to do? It's not a trick question. What do you have to do? Ask! Ask! All you gotta do is ask! Some people think, oh, you know, I have to clean up my act, you know. Man, I really need to get my life together. I need to get rid of these things in my life. You know, and then God will, you know, I'll be acceptable to God, and then He'll give me good gifts, and He'll give me His Holy Spirit. No, no. It's not like that. You see, God does the cleaning up. All you have to do is recognize your need. Recognize your need and have a desire. See, God knows if you don't have a desire, then you're not going to ask. You're not going to ask. And so you have to recognize you have a need, and then there has to be a desire. As many of you came this morning and say, you know, I need the Lord's touch in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to touch me. We sang that song, come and fill us now. Come and revive us now. Come fill this place, Lord. I recognize the need. Some of you came and said, you know, I feel dry. I feel like I'm in a desert place. Guess what? Welcome to the club. Do you not think that I don't feel dry at times? That I don't feel like I'm in the desert? That, you know, God, where are you? I don't sense you working in my life. I don't feel you, God. We're big on feelings. Us humans, we're very big on feelings. You know. And sometimes you can't feel it. You gotta faith it. The feelings will come as you faith it. But God has this good gift for you. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. How do we know? Because He gave it to His disciples and promises He's going to give it to every one of us who asks. Everyone. Everyone. You, me, and every one of us who asks. Let's look at a little bit more. We've looked at Jesus' promise. We see His promise even more specifically here in Luke 11. Turn with me back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I want us to read in Acts chapter 1, Jesus' last words before He ascends back to the Father. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4 through verse 8. Let's begin reading it together. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked Him, "Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from His sight, from their sight. Jesus' last words to them were instructions about the gift of the Holy Spirit that was coming. And He says to them, wait. Wait for this gift My Father promised. He'd been with them 3 years. He taught them. Now, You would think, put yourselves in their place for just a second. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it have been awesome to be with Jesus for those 3 years and hang out with Him? I mean, to, you know, travel around with Him and to see Him do these miracles, you know, to see people that are lame and broken, and to see Jesus touch them and to see them healed right before your eyes. You know, people whose eyes were blind, and He touches them. And, you know, sometimes He spit and made mud and put mud in His eyes. And you'd be like, Lord, I don't know about that one. You know, spit and mud, how does that work? But He did. He touched their eyes, and right before our eyes, they're made able to see. I mean, that would have been cool. That would have been awesome, huh? But even with seeing all these things, which we would have loved to have seen, Jesus says to them at the end of these 3 years, He says, guys, I want you to wait. Don't go into Jerusalem yet. Don't try to do what I've told you to do. You know, I told you you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be a witness to my resurrection. We saw that in John chapter 20 last week. You're going to be witnesses to my resurrection. But guess what? Don't go and do that yet. Wait for my Father to give you this gift. I think most of them understood. There were a couple of them, probably Peter, you know, was like, you know, Jesus, I got this. You know, I got this. I can do this, Jesus. He still hadn't learned yet. But most of them are like, yes, Lord, we're going to wait. And so they do. And you see, sometimes God makes us wait in our lives and tells us to wait. Now, I'm not talking here about getting saved and receiving the Holy Spirit into our lives, but it's like we want that next level. We want that next step. We want that next work in our lives, and we don't understand why it's not coming. We don't understand why we're out in this desert place. We don't understand why, you know, this issue, this circumstance, that we're not overcoming it. And here's what God tells you. We ask Him for an answer, and sometimes He says, wait. How many of y'all like that? How many of y'all like that answer? Wait. Remember as a kid, you know, your parents hid the Christmas gifts, and you're like, oh, you know, it's 2 days before Christmas. Oh, Mom, Dad, can I open a gift? It's Christmas is just 2 days away. And they're like, no, you need to wait. You're like, oh, man. You know, then the day before Christmas, and you're like, hey, you know, you get up at 6 a.m, and you're like, hey, it's the day before Christmas, Mom, Dad. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? Go back to bed. And you're like, can I open a gift? They're like, no, wait. And finally, Christmas Eve, you've badgered your parents, like I badgered my parents, and they've started your tradition that you can open one gift before Christmas. One gift on Christmas Eve. How many do that? Open one gift. All right, so I'm not the only weak one here. All right, you can open one gift. We don't like waiting. But God says to them, wait. Why? Because He knows He has for them what they need. Wait for the person of the Holy Spirit. Wait for this gift that my Father promised. By the way, He does not tell them that the gift is the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Understand that. Very important. The gift is the person of the Spirit. And the person of the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, will baptize you. We'll get to that in just a minute. It's the person of the Spirit. This is what Ezekiel was prophesying about. This is what Jeremiah was prophesying about. And this is what Joel is prophesying about. The Spirit is coming. The Spirit is going to be poured out to all people in this new way. And then Jesus does say, for this Spirit will baptize you as John baptizes with water. As John baptized with water, so the Holy Spirit is going to baptize you. What does that mean? Well, think with me for just a minute. We know that John's baptism, John the Baptist, his baptism was a baptism of repentance. The people there had to be baptized, and they were fully immersed under the water. And it came up out of the water. And so it was a picture of turning away from my sins and turning in faith to God and expressing and establishing a new life. And He says the Holy Spirit is going to baptize you. What does that mean? Just like the water fully covered, fully immersed, fully submerged the people, so the Holy Spirit's going to come, and He's going to fully immerse, fully fill us, the disciples. By the way, as you read through this, in chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 15, and chapter 18, the words baptize and fill are used interchangeably. Okay, so don't get too hung up on the word baptize. I've heard a lot of people who get off and make it a little doctrine, you know, that you got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is talking about here is an analogy. It's not the power of the Spirit, it's the person of the Spirit. And He will baptize you, He will fill you, He will control you. So please understand, it's not just about an experience, it's about the person of the Spirit living in us, controlling our lives. And Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on you, He's going to saturate you, He's going to go into the very depths of your being. You see, here's the deal. The water that John baptized with could not, you know, it didn't really penetrate the body. Or maybe you got some water up your nose, you know. But I imagine like we do today in baptizing people, they held their nose, you know. And so the water, you know, basically goes on the outside. Not so with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon you. He's going to baptize you. He's going to fill you. Listen, He's going to go into the very depths of your being, and He's going to fill those dry places. He's going to fill all those dead, dried up spots in your life. That's why the Holy Spirit's ministry is so important. That's why you and I desperately need the Holy Spirit. But again, it's not as if we have to earn this. No, God wants to give this to you and to me. How do we know that? Because Jesus promised them and Jesus promises us. So John baptized with water. The Holy Spirit's going to baptize them. Now, look with me at verses 6 through 9. The disciples still don't get it. Jesus is talking to them about the Holy Spirit and how He's going to minister power to them. And what do? They want to know about dates and times. Isn't that us? Okay, God, I understand what you're saying, but, okay, when and where? When and where, God? I need to know the details. I need to know. The disciples say to Him, verse 6, when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Okay, God, what's Your plan? Let me in on this. I want to know the details. Let me know the plan. They understood that the coming of the Holy Spirit meant the institution of the kingdom of Israel being restored. What they didn't understand was God was instituting a spiritual kingdom first. The kingdom of Israel is coming. It's coming still. It's coming still. And they're like, okay, God, tell me the plan. And what God says to them through Christ is this. Verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by His own authority. Mr. Camping, I hope you hear it this time. And anybody else who would set a date for Christ's return, okay, that's how you can tell if someone is off base and they're mistaken. If they start giving you dates about when Christ is going to return. If you hear somebody giving you a date, okay, you can close your Bible and walk out the door. Because if you follow that person, you are following a seriously misled and misguided person. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, look, I don't even know when this is going to happen. Only the Father in heaven. Okay? So, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. What does He mean? You're going to receive power. The word is dunamis, from where we get our word dynamite. You're going to receive power first to be a sermon. I've heard a lot of preachers preach on this about how God is giving us power so we can preach the gospel. That's true. We'll see that in just a minute. That is true. But God is giving us power first to be the gospel. To be a sermon. See, God is not so much interested in the communication of it first. He wants you to live out His gospel before others. He wants you to live, be a living sacrifice, be a living gospel, a living letter. First you live this before people, and then you communicate the gospel to people. This word dunamis or dynamite means miraculous, supernatural power, miraculous ability to be My witnesses and to do the gospel. to be the gospel, to be what God has called us to be. Then we can communicate this to others. Who was it that said it, Ashley? That preach the gospel and use words if you have to. St. Francis. Give the gospel out, share the gospel, and use words if you have to. Your life and my life should be a living witness of the gospel. We should be filled with His love, filled with His grace, filled with His mercy towards other people. By the way, that does not mean that we compromise or that we condone sin. It's not what that means. But it means, as far as our responding to other people, we're filled with love. We're filled with grace. We're filled with forgiveness. You know, someone comes to me and says, oh, you mean to tell me you condemn these people because of their sin? I say, no, I don't condemn anybody. I am a sinner forgiven by the grace of God, and He's made me into a saint, a child of His. And that is available for anybody who wants it. So I'm not here to judge anybody, but I'm here to tell you there is a judge, right? Jesus said that. John chapter 13, He says, I've not come to judge. There is one who will judge, that is God the Father. I'm not here to judge you, but I have been commanded to tell others about Christ. So we are to be this gospel. We are to be what God has called us to be, and then we're called to communicate. Then jump to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I do want to get it, just for a few minutes, get into chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Jesus has promised this. He ascends back to the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, the disciples are gathered. They've been waiting. Actually, they've been waiting 40 days for the Holy Spirit to come. And now the Holy Spirit's about to be poured out. Christoph Koning's going to read that for us.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
It is the Feast of Pentecost. And if you don't have a Jewish background, you wouldn't understand what this festival is all about. It is a festival of the first fruits. You celebrate the festival of God's harvest that He's given to us, the first fruits. And so, as they've done for generations, centuries, they are celebrating Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks, which are the weeks that the harvest becomes ready, first fruits. And how fitting it is now that rather than celebrating a physical harvest, physical first fruits, now we're going to celebrate spiritual harvest, spiritual first fruits. They are going to be the ones that have the first fruits of God's Spirit being poured out. But notice with me, different than the Old Covenant, different than under the Old Covenant, it says in verse 4, all of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. All of them. Do you hear that? It's not just prophets, priests, and kings, but it's all of them. The Holy Spirit's being poured out just like it was prophesied with Ezekiel, just like it was prophesied with Jeremiah. Now it's being prophesied and being fulfilled with Joel. The Holy Spirit is being poured out to all of them. You mean all of those rascals? All of those disciples? Yes, all of them. You mean God's Spirit is available to me? Yes. God's Spirit is poured out for you. Not just for me, not just for the elders, not just for, you know, pastors and preachers and missionaries, not just for them, it's for all of us. God has a wonderful gift for every one of us. It's the gift of His Spirit. And it's poured out like it's poured out on the disciples for every one of us. Jesus said, you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. He's coming. He's going to be poured out. And so now, in chapter 2, He has arrived. This is what we call Pentecost. So when you read in the New Testament and it's referring to Pentecost, that's what it's referring to, when the Holy Spirit is poured out. When the Holy Spirit comes gushing out upon all of God's people, and God's sermon is being fulfilled. God's message through Christ is being fulfilled. Now, Peter explains it. And we're going to have to stop here after this. Peter explains it. Look with me at verses 14 through 21. Now, the people are gathered because of this Feast of Pentecost. There's thousands of people in Jerusalem. They're Jewish people that have been spread out through the diaspora. Diaspora means the spreading out. Over the centuries, they've been spread out all through Asia Minor and Greece and all the surrounding areas, down even to Egypt and Cyrene and all these places. And because they've been there for centuries, some of them for a long, long time, they have learned the various languages, the various dialects of those places. A lot of them don't speak Hebrew. A lot of them don't speak Greek anymore. And so, God does this miraculous thing. They hear the mighty works of God, the wonders of God being spoken in their own language. That's another sermon. But as they do this, they're like, they're confused. They're like, what is going on here? Okay? So in verse 13, it says, some of the people that are gathered there make fun of them, saying, oh, they've had too much wine. These disciples of Jesus, they're drunk. That's why they're acting all weird like this. That's why this is happening. They're drunk. They've had too much wine. And so Peter stands up. It's time to stand up. Peter stands up. Peter stands up with the rest of the 11. He raises his voice. He addresses the crowd. This is verse 14. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. No, it's only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Stop right there. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Both men and women. Both men and women, sons and daughters, they will prophesy. They will proclaim and speak for God. You see, in the Jewish faith, it had been primarily male leaders. And God had done his ministry of work mainly through male, except in a few cases with Deborah, who led as a judge. You know, when men won't stand up, God will turn to a woman. So take that to heart, man. If you won't stand up and follow what God has called you to do, he'll speak to your wife. And then you're really going to be in trouble. Not only you weren't listening to God, but now God's going to put her over you. And she's going to speak the truth of God to you. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. No longer is the Holy Spirit going to be just on prophets, priests, and kings. No, it's going to be on all people. Even on my servants, both men and women. And they will prophesy. They will speak for God. This is Christ's gospel. You will speak for God. You ever think about that? When the Holy Spirit is poured out on your life, you will speak for God. Ooh. I don't know if I want that responsibility, Pastor. Guess what? Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when He comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. The question is, are you a good witness or a bad witness? We can choose that. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we can agree to follow Him, follow His leading, or we can resist Him. That's another sermon. But today, I just want to make it the point that you understand the Heavenly Father has a good gift for you. And for me, He poured it out on His disciples. He poured it out on all those people that were waiting upon Him. It wasn't really just the 12. It was that whole group of disciples that are waiting. They're waiting for God to pour out His Spirit. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you waiting for God to pour out His Spirit on you? Maybe you're here today and this is new to you. Maybe you've not heard this before. Maybe this is something new. I'm here to tell you that it is God's Spirit that makes following Jesus Christ alive. It makes it a relationship. Otherwise, it's just, you know, me following a dead religion. You want to know why I grew up in a church and my statement as time went on was, you know, I really don't want to go to church anymore. It's just dead and boring. You know why that was? It's because that church, and this is no criticism of any particular church, except in the sense that if you don't invite God's Spirit into the middle of your service, then you have a finely tuned service that is devoid of the life of God. You know, we've been criticized, you know, all those people down at Islands Church, you know, they're holy rollers down there. They're weirdos, you know. They let the Holy Spirit get involved with that service, and they do some weird things. Amen! We are weird! Why do you try to debate that? Y'all are weird! I'm weird! You know, and if it means being known in the community that we're weird, and you know, we're a place that we want the Holy Spirit, and we want all that He has for us, more than we just want a nice service. You know, if you want a nice service, you can go down to a lot of different churches and have a nice service. I want more than a nice service, amen? I hope you're here and you want more than a nice service. I hope you're here and you want to sense the power of God, the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. You want to come, and if I'm hurting, and if I'm dry, if I'm broken, if I'm bound up, I want to come and say, God, I need You to fill me. I need You to meet me. I need You to overcome me. I need You to fill up those dry, brittle, broken places, Lord. And if that's your desire today, then God has it for you. He is no respecter of persons. What He has done for me, what He has done for everyone here that knows Him and knows the fullness of His Spirit, He will do for you. He will do it. So are you here today and are you asking Him? Are you asking Him? Do you want all that God has for you? Do you want His Holy Spirit to fill you? And maybe you're here as a believer. Maybe you're here as a person who needs to start this relationship with Jesus. Maybe this is the first you've really understood this. And maybe you need to start this relationship with Jesus. What a beautiful day to do that. At the close of the service, we invite you, come on up. Come on up and talk with us. We'd love to explain to you what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to know this gift of His Spirit in your life. And maybe you're a believer and you say, you know, I just sense a need, as many of you have already. I feel dry. I feel broken. I need God to overcome some things in my life. Maybe you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not just a one-time thing. The Holy Spirit keeps filling us over and over and over again. Why? We leak. That's right, we leak. Would you pray with me? I invite you to stand. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your gift that You want to give us, Lord. We've read Your words through Your Son, Jesus, and You want to give us this beautiful gift, Lord. I pray for each one here. Pray for each one here, Lord, that we would be asking. Lord, we would be asking, and if it's the first time that we need You to come into our lives and establish a relationship with Jesus by Your Spirit, Lord, that You would be drawing hearts. And then, Lord, if You are pointing out a need in our lives, Lord, we're feeling dry, we're feeling burdened, I feel like we're out in the desert and we need a fresh filling of Your Spirit. Lord, may we ask. And You say, how much will my Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We're asking You, Lord, fill us afresh and new. Fill us afresh and new, Lord. Please, fill us afresh and new today. Would you say that to God? Fill us afresh and new, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Please, come revive us, Lord. Come fill us now. Holy Spirit, come and fill us now. As we close the service, if you sense that need, that desire, I invite you to come on up. Pray with us. Talk with us. Let us pray over you. God wants to do a great work in our lives. I pray the blessings of God over each one here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. Come on up if you want some ministry, want prayer. God bless you all.